great praise. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. Today, Mr. Walter Hampton will recreate one of his most successful interpretations when he plays Mr. Burns Mantle, outstanding American drama critic and known throughout the country for his yearly volume of Broadway's best plays, will act as commentator. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burns Mantle.
Today, my fellow playgoers, we come to another of the Shakespearean tragedies. Othello belongs to the dramatist's third turgid. It came 2 years after Hamlet and was followed by King Lear and Macbeth. All three plays, somber in character, powerful in their tragic impact, reflect the settled melancholy that pervaded England at the time of their writing. It was a particularly sad time for Shakespeare. His friend had died in 1603. The flabby James of Scotland was wobbling about upon the throne of England and making rather a sorry mess of things. For the better part of 2 years, Shakespeare was too unhappy to write anything. Then I suspect his friend and fellow player, Richard Burbage, stood desperately in need of a play. Shakespeare stirred to action, looked about for a plot, and came upon a novel by an Italian, Giraldi Cencio, called Un Capitano Moro. Here was a framework to his liking, and one upon which he proceeded to drape his imperishable verse. There was, I was interested to discover, a moral attached to this Cencio story, which Shakespeare artfully ignored. Un Capitano Moro, declared his heroine, was written to prove an example to young girls not to marry against the wishes of parents. Also, to warn Italian ladies against marrying those men, she said, whom nature, heaven, and manner of life have separated from us. The history of our own theater has been enriched by many fine revivals of Othello. Edwin Booth once played the Moor to the Iago of Henry Irving and the Desdemona of Ellen Terry. Booth and Barrett frequently alternated the roles of Othello and Iago. Again, Booth was an English-speaking Iago to the robustious and fiery Italian Othello of Tommaso Salvini. 12 years ago, Walter Hampton, the distinguished leader of the American stage, who is to be our Othello today, revised the tragedy for a run of 57 performances in New York. Another item I find of interest is the fact that Mr. Harry McFadden, who will direct today's performance, has made his adaptation of the play direct from the personal prompt book of Edwin Booth. At the turn of the century, Mr. McFadden was a member of the Louis James, Frederick Ward, Helena Modjeska Company that frequently featured revivals of this tragic story, with James as Othello and Ward as Iago. So you see, today we are traveling in distinguished company and reviving, for older playgoers, I hope, many pleasant memories. Now we come to the play. You probably recall the outline of the story of Othello, a Moorish general in the Venetian army, who eloped with Desdemona, the daughter of Brabantio, a distinguished senator. The night of the elopement, Iago, a disgruntled officer of Othello's command, has awakened Brabantio to tell him of his daughter's flight. Brabantio, having confirmed Desdemona's absence, seeks out Othello. Othello, putting aside the older man's anger, agrees to appear before the Duke and nobles of Venice and there defend what he has done. With Othello and Brabantio, we go to the Senate chambers, now brilliant with the gorgeous coloring of the costumes of the period. The Duke has entered and taken his place. He turns to Othello.
Valiant Othello, we must straighten by you against the general enemy Ottoman. Oh, I did not see you, Brabantio. We lacked your counsel and your help tonight.
So did I yours. For my particular grief, it is so floodgate and all-bearing nature that it engulfs and swallows other sorrows, and it is still itself.
Why, what's the matter?
My daughter. Oh, my daughter.
Dead?
Aye, to me. She is abused, stolen from me, and corrupted by spells and medicines bought of Mountebank.
Where he be, that in this foul proceeding have thus beguiled your daughter herself, and you of her? The bloody book of law you shall yourself read in the bitter letter of your own sense. Nay, though our proper son stood in your action.
Humbly I thank your grace. Here is the man, this Moor, whom now it seems your special mandate for the state affairs hath hither brought.
We are very sorry for it. What in your own part, Othello, can you say to this?
Most potent, grave, and reverend signors, my very noble and approved good masters, that I have taken away this old man's daughter, it is most true. True, I have married her. The very head and front of my offending at this extent, no more. Rude am I in my speech, and little blessed with the soft phrase of peace. And little of this great world can I speak, more than pertains to feats of broil and battle. And therefore, little shall I grace my cause in speaking for myself. Yet, by your gracious patience, I will a round, unvarnished tale deliver of my whole course of love. What drugs, what charms, what conjuration, and what mighty magic. For such proceeding I am charged with all, I won his daughter.
A maiden never bold, of spirit so still and quiet, that her motion blushed at herself. And she, in spite of nature, of years, of country, credit, everything, to fall in love with what she feared to look on. I therefore vouch again that with some mixtures powerful o'er the blood, or with some dram conjured to this effect, he wrought upon her.
Oh, vouch this is no proof. Othello, give you by indirect and forced causes, have you poisoned this young maid's affections, or came it by request? And such fair question of soul to soul for it.
Her father loved me, oft invited me, still questioned me the story of my life from year to year. The battles, sieges, fortunes that I have passed. I ran it through, even from my boyish days to the very moment that he bade me tell it. This to hear would Desdemona seriously incline. But still the house affairs would draw her thence. Whichever she could with haste dispatch, she'd come again, and with a greedy ear devour up my discourse, which I observing, took once a pliant hour, and found good means to draw from her a prayer of earnest heart, that I would all my pilgrimage dilate, whereof by parcels she had something heard, but not intentively. My story being done, she gave me for my pains a world of sighs. She swore a face was strange. It was passing strange. It was pitiful. It was wondrous pitiful. She wished she had not heard it, yet she wished that heaven had made her such a man. She thanked me and bade me if I had a friend that loved her, I should but teach him how to tell my story, and that would woo her. Upon this hint, I spake. She loved me for the dangers I had passed, and I loved her that she did pity them. This only is the witchcraft I have used.
Good, Brabantio, take up this mangled matter at the best. I think this tale would win my daughter, too.
We have come late at night to a fortified seaport town in the island of Cyprus. Before a castle occupied by Othello and Desdemona, several soldiers are gathered. Michael Cassio, who has been plied with wine by Iago, rushes, sword drawn, from a nearby inn, driving Roderigo before him.
Beat me, my duty. I'll beat the maid. Well, wicked bottle. Beat me, you foul face. Oh, good lieutenant, I tell you to hold your hand. Let me go, sir, or I'll knock you over the mess. Come, come, your trunk. I, good lieutenant, I said go out and try a mutiny. You're the lieutenant. Good 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 eyes. Heavens will let her in. Hold! You'll be tamed forever! Hold! For your eyes! Othello! General!
For Christian fame! But why this barbarous brawl? He that stirs next to carve his own rage holds his soul light. He dies upon his bosom. Silence! That gentle bell! It strikes the isle from her propriety. Honest Iago, that looks dead with grieving, speak. Who began this? On thy love, I charge.
I do not know. friends, all but now. Even now in quarter and in term, like bride and groom divesting them for bed. And then but now, sore, doubt and tilting, one another's breast in opposition's lovers. I cannot speak any beginning to this treated heart, and would in action glorious I had lost these legs that brought me to a part of it.
How comes it, Michael? You others forgot.
I pray you pardon me. I cannot speak.
Worthy Montano, you were once a hero. What's the matter that you unleash your reputation thus, and spend your rich opinion for the name of a night brawler? Give me answer to it.
Worthy Othello, I am hurt to danger. Your officer, Iago, can inform you.
I found them close together at blow and thrust, even as again they were when you yourself did pass them. More of this matter can I not report. But men are men. The best sometimes forget. Though Cassio did some little wrong to him, yet surely Cassio, I believe, received from him that fled some strange indignity which patience could not tire.
I know, Iago, thy honesty and love doth mince this matter, making it light to Cassio. Cassio, I love thee, but nevermore be officer of mine. Montano, for your hurt, myself will be your surgeon. Lead him off.
Wait.
Iago, look with care about the town, and silence those whom this vile brawl distresses. Cassio, I'll make thee an example.
What? Are you hurt, Lieutenant?
I passed all surgery.
Marry, heaven forbid.
Reputation. No, I've lost my reputation. I've lost the immortal part of myself, and what remains is bestial. My reputation, Iago, my reputation.
As I'm an honest man, I thought you'd receive some bodily wounds. There is more offense in that than in reputation.
Oh, that men could put an enemy into their mouths to steal away their brains.
Come, come. Good wine is a very good familiar creature, if it be well used. Excellent. And good, Lieutenant, I think you think I love you.
I have well approved it, sir. I drunk.
You or any man living may be drunk at some time, man. I tell you what you do. Our general's wife is now the general. Confess yourself freely to her. Importune her. She'll have to put you in your place again. She's so free, so kind, so apt, so blessed a disposition. She holds a device in her goodness not to do more than she requests.
You advise me well.
I protest in the sincerity of love and honest kindness.
I think it freely. And betimes in the morning I will beseech the virtuous Desdemona to undertake for me. I am desperate of my fortune if they check me here.
You're in the right. Good night, Lefty.
Good night, honest Iago.
And what he then that says I play the villain? To counsel Cassio to this parallel course directly to his good. Divinity of hell. When devils will the blackest sin put on, they do suggest it first with heavenly souls, as I do now. For while this honest fool plies Desdemona to repair his fortune, and she for him pleads strongly to the Moor, I'll pour pestilence into his ear, lest he repeal him for her wantonness. So will I turn her virtue into pit, and out of her own goodness, make the nest the felon nest in. Two things are to be done. My wife must move for Cassio to her mistress. I'll set her on. Myself the while to draw the Moor apart and bring him jump when he may Cassio find soliciting his wife. Aye, that's the way. Though not devised by coldness and delay.
Major Cassio has lost no time in following Iago's advice. He finds him now with the Lady Desdemona and her maid, Emilia, Iago's wife, in Othello's apartment in the castle.
Be thou assured, good Cassio, I will do all my abilities in thy behalf.
Good madam, do. I warrant it grieves my husband if the case for his son.
Do not doubt, Cassio, but I will have my lord and you again. friendly as you were.
Bounteous, madam.
And be well, you well assured, he shall in strangeness stand no further off than in a politic distance.
Aye, but lady, that policy may either last so long that I, being absent and my place supplied, my general will forget my love and service.
But do not doubt that. Secor Amelia here, I give thee warrant of thy place. Assure thee, if I do vow a friendship, I'll perform it to the last article. The Lord shall never rest. Never be merry, Cassio. For thy solicitor shall rather die than give thy cause away.
Yes, madam, here comes my lord.
Yes, madam, I'll take my leave.
Why, stay and hear me speak.
Madam, not I. I'm very ill at ease. Unfit for mine own purpose.
Well, do your discretion.
Farewell, madam.
I like not that. What shall say, Iago?
Nothing, my lord. Or if, I know not what.
Was not that Cassio that parted from my wife?
Cassio, my lord? No, sure, I cannot think it. That he would steal away so guilty-like, seeing you coming.
I do believe, twas he.
Now, my lord. I have been talking with a suitor here, a man that languishes in your displeasure.
Who is it you mean?
Why, your lieutenant, Cassio. Good, my lord, if I have any grace or power to move you, his present reconciliation take. For if he be not one that truly loves you, that errs in ignorance and not in cunning, I have no judgment in an honest face. But I prithee call him back.
Will he hence now?
I sooth so humble that he hath left part of his grief with me to suffer with him. Good love, call him back.
Not now, sweet Desdemona, some other time.
But shall be shortly?
The sooner, sweet, for you.
Shall be tonight at supper.
No, not tonight.
But tomorrow dinner, then.
I shall not dine at home. I meet the captains at the Citadel.
Why, then tomorrow night, or Tuesday morn, or Tuesday noon, or night, or Wednesday morn. I pray thee name the time.
Pray thee no more. Let him come when he will. I will deny thee nothing. Whereon I do beseech thee, grant me this, to leave me but a little to myself.
Shall I deny you? No. Farewell, my lord. Amelia, come.
Excellent wretch. Perdition catch my soul, but I do love thee. And when I love thee not, chaos has come again.
My noble lord.
What dost thou say, Iago?
Did Michael Cassio, when you wooed my lady, know of your love?
He did, from first to last. Why dost thou ask?
But for the satisfaction of my thought. No further harm.
Why of thy thought, Iago?
I did not think he had been acquainted with
me. Oh, yes, and went between us very often.
Indeed.
Aye, indeed. Isn't thou aught in that? Is he not honest?
Honest, my lord?
Honest, aye, honest.
My lord, for aught I know.
What dost thou think?
Think, my lord.
Think, my lord? My heaven, he echoes me, as if there were some monster in his thought, too hideous to be shown. Thou dost mean something. If thou dost love me, show me thy thought.
My lord, you know I love you.
I think thou dost. And for I know thou art full of love and honesty, and waste thy words before thou givest them breath. Therefore these stops of thine fright me the more. For such things in a false, disloyal knave are tricks of custom. But in a man that's just, they are close dilations working from the heart that passion cannot rule.
For Michael Cassio, I dare be sworn, I think that he is honest.
I think so too.
Men should be what they seem, or those that be not, would they might seem none.
Certain men should be what they seem.
Why, then, I think Cassio's an honest man.
Nay, yet there's more in this. I prithee speak to me as to thy thinking, as thou dost ruminate, and give thy worst of thoughts, the worst of words.
Good my lord, pardon me.
Thou dost conspire against thy friend, Iago, if thou but thinkst him wronged. And makes his ear a stranger to thy thoughts.
I do beseech you. It were not for your quiet, nor your good, nor for my manhood, honesty, nor wisdom, to let you know my thoughts.
What dost thou mean?
Good name, in man or woman, dear my lord, is the immediate jewel of their souls. Who steals my purse, steals trash. 'Tis something nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slaved to thousands. But he that pilches from me my good name robs me of that which nothing riches him and makes me poor indeed.
By heaven, I'll know thy thought.
You cannot, if my heart within your hand, nor shall not,
while 'tis in my custody.
Huh?
Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth make the meat it feeds on. Good heaven, the souls of all my tribe defend from jealousy.
Why is this? Thinkst thou I'd make a life of jealousy to follow still the changes of the moon with fresh suspicions? No. To be once in doubt is once to be resolved. It is not to make me jealous to say my wife is fair, feeds well, loves company, is free of speech, sings, plays, and dances well. Where virtue is, these are more virtuous. Nor from mine own weak merits will I draw the smallest fear or doubt of her revolt. For she had eyes and chose me. No, Iago, I'll see before I doubt. When I doubt, prove. And on the proof, there is no more but this. Away at once with love or jealousy.
I'm glad of this. For now, I shall have reason to show the love and duty that I bear you with franker spirit. I speak not yet of proof. Look to your wife.
Eh?
Observe her well with Cassio. I know our country disposition well. In Venice, they do let heaven see the pranks they dare not show their husbands. Their best conscience is not to leave undone, but to keep unknown.
Dost thou say so?
She did deceive her father, marrying you. And when she seemed to shake and fear your looks, she loved them most.
And so she did.
Why, go to, then, she that so young could give out such a seeming to seal her father's eyes up close as oak. He thought 'twas witchcraft.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but I am to blame. I humbly do beseech you of your pardon for too much loving you.
I am bound to thee forever.
I see this hath a little dashed your spirit.
Not a jot, not a jot.
Oh, trust me, I fear it has. I hope you will consider what is spoke comes from my love. Uh-huh. Oh, but I see your mood. I am to pray you not to strain my speech to grosser issues, nor to larger reach than into suspicion.
I will not.
Should you do so, my lord, my speech should fall into such vile success as my thoughts aim not at. Cassio is my worthy friend.
Cassio?
Oh, my lord, I see you're moved.
No, 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 not much moved. I do not think that Desdemona is honest.
Long live she so. And long live you, to think.
Farewell, farewell. If more thou dost perceive, let me know more. Set on my wife to observe.
What?
Leave me, Iago.
My lord, I take my leave.
Why did I marry? This honest creature doubtless sees and knows more, much more than he unfolds.
My lord, I would I might entreat your honor to scan this thing no further. Leave it to time. Yeah. I once more take my leave.
This fellow's of exceeding honesty and knows all qualities for the learned spirit of human dealings. If I do prove her haggard, though that her jesses were my dear heart strings, I'd whistle her off and let her down the wind to pray at fortune. Oh, happily for I am black, and have not those soft parts of conversation that chamberers have. Or, for I am declined to the veil of years. Oh, curse of marriage, that we can call these delicate creatures ours, and not their appetites. I had rather be a toad, and live upon the vapor of a dungeon, than keep a corner in the thing I love, for others' uses.
Othello!
Someone comes. Oh, if she be false, why then, heaven mocks itself. I'll not believe it.
Oh, no, my dear Othello. Your dinner, and this generous islanders by you invited to attend your presence.
I am to blame.
Why is your speech so faint? Are you not well?
I have a pain on my forehead here.
Faith, that's with watching. Twill away again. Let me but bind it with my kerchief. Within this hour it will be well.
Your kerchief is too little. Let it alone. Oh, come. I'll go in.
I'm very sorry that you're not well, dear. I am glad I have found this handkerchief. This was her first remembrance from an... My wayward husband hath 100 times wooed me to steal it. But she so loves the token, for he conjured her she could ever keep it, that she deserved it ever more about her to kiss and talk to. I'll have the work clean out and get the oven. What we will do with it, heaven knows, not I. I? Nothing but to please his fantasy.
Oh, no. What do you hear alone?
Do not you chide. I have a thing for you. What will you give me now for that same handkerchief?
What handkerchief?
What handkerchief? Why, that the Moor first gave to Desdemona. That which you so often did bid me steal.
I've stolen it from her.
No. But he let it drop by negligence, and to the advantage I, being here, took up. Look, here it is.
A good wrench. Give it me.
What will you do with it? That you have been so earnest to have me filch it.
What's that to you? Give it me.
If he not for some purpose of import took me again. Poor lady. She'll run mad when she shall let it.
Be you not known out. I have use for it. Go, leave me.
Yes, my lord.
I will, in Cassio's lodging, lose this curtain and let him find it. Trifle, light as air, are to the jealous confirmation, strongest proof of holy writ. This may do something. The Moor already changes with my poison. Dangerous conceits are in their nature poison, which at the first are scarce found to distaste, but with a little act upon the blood, burn like the mines of sulfur.
Oh, false to me.
I have now, General, no more of that.
Avant, begone! Now set me on the rack.
I swear, it's better to be much abused than but to know it a little.
How now, my lord?
What sense had I of her stolen hours? He that is robbed, not wanting what is stolen, let him not know it, and he's not robbed at all.
I'm sorry to hear this.
Oh, now, forever, farewell the tranquil mind. Farewell content. Farewell the plumed troop and the big wars that make ambition virtue. Oh, farewell. Farewell the neighing steed and the shrill trump, the spirit's churring drum, the ear-piercing fife, the royal banner, and all quality pride, pomp and circumstance of glorious war. Farewell. Othello's occupation's gone.
Is it possible, my lord?
Villain, be sure thou prove my love a wanton. Be sure of it. Give me the ocular proof. Or by the worth of man's eternal soul, thou hadst been better have been born a dog than answer thy naked wrath.
Let's come to this.
Let me see it. Or at least so prove it. That the probation bear no hinge nor loop to hang a doubt on, or woe upon my life.
My noble lord!
Thou dost slander her
and torture me. Never pray more. Abandon all remorse. For nothing canst thou to damnation add. Greater than that.
Oh, please. Oh, heaven defend me. Are you a man? Have you a soul of sense? God be with you. Take mine office. Oh, wretched fool that lives to make thine honesty a vice. I thank you for this prophet. And from hence I love no friend. This love breeds such offense.
Nay, thou shouldst be honest.
I should be wise, for honesty's a fool, and loses that it works for.
By the world, I think my wife be honest. I think she is not. I think that thou art just, and think thou art not.
I'll have some proof.
Her name, that was as fresh as Dian's visage, is now
begrimed and black as my own face. Would I was satisfied.
I see, sir, you're eaten up with passion. I do repent me that I put it to you. You would be satisfied?
Would, nay, I will.
And nay, but how?
Oh.
If imputation and strong circumstances, which lead directly to the door of truth, will give you satisfaction,
you may have to give me a living reason she's disloyal.
I do not like the office. But since I'm entered in this cause so far, pricked to it by foolish honesty and love, I will go on.
I lay with Cassio lately, and being troubled with a raging tooth, I could not sleep. There are a kind of men so loose of soul that in their sleeps will mutter their affairs. One of this kind is Cassio. In sleep, I heard him say, "Sweet Desdemona, let us be wary, let us hide our love."
Oh.
And then said with a dragon ring, my hand cried, "Oh, sweet creature." Oh. And then, "Cursed fate that gave thee to the moor."
Oh, monstrous, monstrous.
Nay, this was but a dream.
But this denoted a foregone conclusion.
It was a shrewd doubt, though it be but a dream. And this may help to thicken other proofs that do demonstrate thinly.
I'll tear her all to pieces.
But be wise. Yet we see nothing done. She may be honest yet. Hey, tell me the truth. Have you not sometimes seen a handkerchief spotted with strawberries in your wife's hand?
I gave her such a one. It was my first gift.
I know not that, but such a handkerchief, I am sure it was your wife. Did I today see Cassio wipe his beard with?
If it be that.
If it be that or any that was hers, it speaks against her with the other proofs.
How do I see it is true? Look here, Iago. All my fond love, thus do I blow to heaven.
She's gone. Arise, let vengeance from thy hollow hell.
Yield up, O love, thy crown and hearted throne to tyrannous hate. Well, bosom with thy fault.
But tis a vast thing. Come,
be content.
Blood, Iago, blood.
I say your mind may change.
Never, Iago.
Now, by yon marble heaven, in the due reverence of a sacred vow, I here engage my word.
Do not rise yet. Witness, you ever-burning lights above, you elements that clip us round about, witness that here Iago doth give up the execution of his wit, hands, heart, to wrong the fellow service.
I greet thy love, not with vain thanks, but with acceptance bounteous, and will upon the instant put me to it.
Within these 3 days, let me hear thee say that Cassio's not alive.
My friend is dead. She's done at your request. But let her live.
Damn her! Use me so! Damn her! Damn her! Come, go with me apart.
I will withdraw to furnish me with some swift means of death for the fair devil.
Thou art thou my lieutenant.
I am your own forever.
In her private apartment in the palace, Desdemona has just discovered the loss of her handkerchief. In her desperate anxiety, she turns to Amelia.
Where should I lose that handkerchief, Amelia? I know not, madam. Believe me, but the noble Moor is true of mind and made of no such baseness as jealous creatures are. It were enough to put him to ill sense. Is he not jealous? Who, he? I think the sun where he was born drew all such humors from him. Look where he comes. I will not leave him now till Cassio be called to him. How is it with you, my lord?
Well, my good lady, how is it with you, Desdemona?
Well, my good lord.
Give me your hand. This hand is moist, my lady.
It yet has felt no age, nor known no sorrow.
It argues fruitfulness. And liberal heart. Hot, hot, and moist. It is a good hand, a frank one.
You may indeed say so. For it was that hand that gave away my heart.
A liberal hand. The hearts of old gave hands. But our new heraldry is hands, not hearts.
I cannot speak of this. Come now, your promise.
What promise, Chuck?
I have sent a good Cassio come speak with you.
I have a Sultan, sullen room offends me. Send me thy handkerchief.
Oh, my lord.
Oh, that which I gave you.
I have it not about me.
Not?
No, indeed, my lord.
That is a fault. That handkerchief did an Egyptian to my mother give. She was a charmer and could almost read the thoughts of people. She told her while she kept it would make her amiable and subdue my father to her love. She dying gave it me. And bid me, when my fate would have me wise, to give it her. I did so. And take heed on it. Make it a darling, like your precious eyes. To loosed, or dipped away, was such perdition
as nothing else could match.
It's possible.
It's true. There's magic in the web of it. The worms were hallowed that breed the silk.
Indeed, it's true.
Most veritable. Therefore, look to it well.
Then would to heaven that I had never seen it.
Huh? Wherefore?
Why do you speak so startlingly and rash?
Lost is gone. Speak. Is it out of the way?
Heaven bless us.
Say you?
It is not lost, but what if it were?
Oh.
I say it is not lost.
Fetch it. Let me see it.
Why, so I can, sir. But I will not now. This is a trick to put me from my suit. Now, pray you let Cassio be received again.
Fetch me the handkerchief. My mind misgives.
Come, come, you'll never meet a more sufficient man. A man that all this time has founded his good fortunes on your love. Shared dangers with you.
Handkerchief.
You are to blame.
Away! Away!
Is not this man jealous? I ne'er saw this before. Sure, there's some wonder in this handkerchief. I am most unhappy in the loss of it.
Is not a year or two shows us a man.
This way, Cassio.
Look you, Cassio and my husband.
Madam.
How now, good Cassio? What's the news with you?
Madam, my former suit.
Alas, thrice gentle Cassio. Milord is not Milord. You must a while be patient. What I can do, I will.
Is my lord angry?
He went hence but now, and certainly in strange unquietness.
Can he be angry? For something of moment, then, I will go meet him.
I prithee do so.
There's matter in it indeed, if he be angry.
Something sure of state hath cuddled his clear spirit. Cassio, walk hereabout. If I do find him fit, I'll move your suit and seek to accept it to my uttermost.
I humbly thank your ladyship.
Pray heaven it be state matter as you think, and no conception nor no jealous toy concerning you. Alas, the day I never gave him cause, but jealous souls will not be answered to. They are not ever jealous for the cause, but jealous for they are jealous. Is a monster begot upon itself, born on itself.
Heaven keep that monster from Othello's mind.
Lady, amen.
Othello's jealousy now has complete hold upon him. He has summoned the frightened Emilia to his private quarters in the palace that he may question her.
You see nothing then?
Nor ever heard, nor ever did suspect.
Yes, you have seen Cassio and her together.
But then I saw no harm. And then I heard each syllable that breath made up between them.
What? Did they never whisper?
Never, my lord.
I'll send you out of the way?
Never.
To fetch her pen, her glove, her mask, nor nothing?
Never, my lord.
That's strange.
I durst, my lord, to wager she is honest. Lay down my soul at stake. If you think of her, remove your thought. It doth abuse your bosom. If any wretch hath put this in your head, let heaven requite it with a serpent's curse. For if she be not honest, chaste, and true, there's no man happy. The purest of their wives is foul as slander.
Bid her come hither. Go.
No.
She says enough. Yet she's a simple one that cannot say as much. This is a subtle jade, a closet lock and key of villainous secrets. And yet she'll kneel and pray. I've seen her do it.
Lord, what is your will?
Pray, Chuck. Come hither.
What is your pleasure?
Let me see your eyes. Look in my face.
What horrible fancy is this? I understand the fury in your words, but not the words.
Why, what art thou?
Your wife. My lord, your true and loyal wife.
Come, swear it. Damn thyself. Lest being like one of heaven, the devils themselves should fear to seize thee. Swear thou art honest.
Heaven doth truly know it.
Heaven truly knows that thou art false as hell.
To whom, my lord? With whom? How am I false?
Oh, Desdemona, away, away, away.
Alas, the heavy day. Why do you weep? Am I the occasion of these tears, my lord?
Had it pleased heaven to try me with affliction, had they rained all kinds of sores and shames on my bare head, steeped me in poverty to the very lips, given to captivity me and my utmost hope, I should have found in some place of my soul a drop of patience. But alas, to make me a fixed figure for the time of scorn, to point his slow, unmoving finger at.
I hope the noble lord esteems me honest.
Why, as summer flies are in the shambles, that quicken even with blowing.
Oh, thou weed, who art so lovely fair, and smellest
so sweet that the sense aches at me. Would thou had ne'er been born.
Alas, what ignorant sin have I committed?
What committed? The wanton wind, the kisses, all it meets, is hushed within the hollow mind of earth, and will not hear it. What committed? Impudent strumpet!
Oh, heaven, you do me wrong!
Honor to a strumpet!
No! But I shall be saved.
I cry you mercy, then. I took you for that cunning trash of Venice that married with Othello. You, mistress, yes, you, Amelia.
You called me, Lord?
We have done our course. There's money for your pay. I pray you turn the key and keep our counsel.
Alas, what does this gentleman conceive? Good madam, what's the matter with my lord?
With whom?
Why, with my lord, madam. I have none. Do not talk to me, Amelia.
How is it with you, madam? What's the matter, lady?
Alas, Iago, my lord has so abused her, thrown such despite and heavy terms upon her, as true heart cannot bear. Am I that name, Iago?
What name, fair lady?
Such as she says, my lord did say I was. He called her stupid.
Why did he so?
I do not know. I'm sure I am none such.
Oh, do not weep. Do not weep, alas, today.
And she forsook so many noble matters, her father and her country and her friends to be so called. Would it not make one weep?
Beshrew him for it. How comes this trick upon him?
No, heaven doth know. I will be hanged if some eternal villain have not devised this slander. I will be hanged if...
Ah, there is no such man. It is impossible.
If any such there be, heaven pardon him. Oh, shall pardon him. Who keeps her company? What place, what time, what form, what likelihood? The more is abused by some most villainous knave. Oh, heaven, put in every honest hand a whip to lash the rascals naked through the world.
Speak within door. You're a fool. Go to.
Oh, good Iago. What shall I do to win the lord again? Good then, go to him. I know not how I lost him. Unkindness may do much, and his unkindness may defeat my life, but never taint my love.
I pray you be content. This is but his humor. The business of the state does him offense, and he does tide with him.
It were no other.
It is but so I warrant. Weep not. All things shall be well.
The bedchamber of Desdemona is a vaulted room. It is midnight. Upon a canopied bed, its rich drapery is thrown back, we see the sleeping Desdemona. The door is softly opened, and Othello enters. He carries a lighted candle. Desdemona stirs restlessly in her sleep as Othello stands above her.
It is the cause. It is the cause, my soul. Let me not name it to you, you chaste stars. It is the cause. Yet I'll not shed her blood, nor scar that whiter skin of hers than snow, and smooth as monumental alabaster, yet she must die, that she'll betray more men. Put out the light. And then, put out the light. If I quench thee, thou flaming minister, I can again my former light restore, should I repent me. But once put out thy light, thou cunning pattern of excelling nature. I know not where is that Promethean heat that can thy light relume. When I have plucked the rose, I cannot give it vital growth again. It needs must wither. I'll smell it on the tree. Oh, balmy breath, that dost almost persuade justice to break her thorn. One more, one more. Oh, be thus when thou art dead, and I will kill thee and love thee after. One more.
It's the last.
Who's there? Othello?
Aye, Desdemona. Have you prayed tonight, Desdemona?
I'm not.
If you bethink yourself of any crime, unreconciled as yet to heaven and grace, solicit for it straight.
Alack, my lord. What may you mean by that?
Well, do it, and be brief. I will walk by. I would not kill thy unprepared spirit, no heaven forfend.
I would not kill thy soul.
Talk you of killing?
I do.
And heaven have mercy on me.
Amen, with all my heart.
If you say so, I hope you will not kill me.
Uh-huh.
Yet I fear you. You are fatal when your eyes roll so. Why, I should fear, I know not, since guiltiness, I know not. But yet I fear.
Think on my sin.
They are loves I bear to you.
Aye, and for that thou diest.
That death's unnatural, but kills for loving. Alas, why gnaw you so your nether lip? Some bloody passion shakes your very frame.
Peace, and be still.
I will so. What's the matter?
That handkerchief, which I so loved and gave thee. Thou gavest to Cassio.
No, by my life and soul. Send for the man and ask him.
Sweet soul, take heed. Take heed of perjury. Thou art on thy deathbed.
Aye, but not yet to die.
Yes, presently. Therefore, confess thee freely of thy sin.
But Lord, have mercy on me.
I say amen.
And have you mercy, too. I never did offend you in my life. Never loved Cassio. But with such general warrantry of heaven as I might love, I never gave him token.
By heaven, I saw my handkerchief in sand. O perjured woman, thou dost stone my heart. And makest me call what I intend to do a murder. Which I thought a sacrifice. I saw the handkerchief.
It found it in. I never gave it in. Send for him hither. Let him confess the truth.
His mouth is stopped. Honest Iago hath seen all upon it.
Oh, my fair interpret. What is he dead?
Hath all his hairs been lives. My great revenge had stomach for them all.
Alas, he is betrayed. And I undone.
Out, Watson. Leap down for him to my face.
Oh, banish me, my lord. But kill me not.
Down, Watson.
Kill me tomorrow. Let me live tonight.
Hey, if you spy.
But half an hour.
He's done. There is no pause.
But while I say one prayer.
It is too late. Dead. I'm dead, quite dead. I that am cruel and yet merciful. I would not have thee linger in thy pain. So.
My lord!
Who's there?
Oh, good, my lord. I'll speak a word with you.
She's Amelia.
By and by.
She's like she comes to speak of Cassio's death. The noise was high. Huh? No more moving. Still as the grave. What's best to do? If she come in, she'll sure speak to my wife. My wife? My wife? What wife? I have no wife. Oh, insupportable, oh, heavy hour.
I
don't
speak to you, but I may speak with you, good my lord.
I had forgot thee. Come in. Come in, Amelia. What's the matter with thee now?
Oh, my good lord. Yonder's foul murder done.
What now?
What now, my lord?
She's the very arrow of the moon. She comes more near the earth than she was once and makes men mad.
Cassio, my lord, has killed a young Venetian called Rodrigo.
Rodrigo killed and Cassio killed.
No, Cassio is not killed.
But Cassio killed. The murder's out of tune, and sweet revenge grows harsh.
Falsely murdered.
That's what cry is that?
That's what?
Out, and alas, it was my lady's voice. Help, help! Oh, lady, speak again, sweet Desdemona. Oh, sweet mistress, speak.
A guiltless death I die.
Who hath done this?
Nobody, I, myself. Farewell. Commend me to my kind lord. Oh, farewell.
Why, how should she be murdered?
Alas, who knows?
Heard her say herself it was not I.
She said so. I must needs report the truth.
She's like a liar gone to burning hell. False I that killed her.
Oh, the more angel she and you, the blacker devil.
She was false as water.
Thou art rash as fire to say that she was false. She was heavenly true.
Oh, I was damned beneath all depth in hell. But that I did proceed upon just grounds to this extremity. My husband knew it all.
My husband?
My husband.
That she was false to wedlock?
Aye, with Cassio.
My husband?
What needs this iteration, woman? I say thy husband. Dost understand the word? My friend, thy husband, honest, honest Iago.
He say so. May his pernicious soul rot half a grain a day. He lies to the heart. He was too fond of her most filthy bargain. Do thy worst. The sea of thine is no more worthy heaven than thou wast worthy her.
Peace, your best.
Thou hast not half the power to do me harm as I have to be hurt. Oh, gull, oh, dolt!
as ignorant as dirt. Thou hast done a deed I cannot by sword. I will make thee known, though I lost 20 lives. Help! Help, oh, help! The Moor has killed my mercy. Murder! Murder! My mistress! Here lies murdered in her bed.
What is it?
Oh! Ah, you come, Iago. You have done well that men must lay their murders on your neck. Disprove this villain if thou beest a man. He says thou told him that his wife was false. I know that thou didst not, and thou art not such a villain. Speak, for my heart is full.
I told him what I thought, and told no more than what he found himself was acting true.
But did you ever tell him she was false?
I did.
You told a lie, an odious, damned lie. She false with Cassio? Did you say you with Cassio?
With Cassio, mistress. What, you mad? I charge you get you home.
Good gentlemen, let me have leave to speak. It's proper I obey him, but not now. But Santiago, I will ne'er go home. Lay thee down and roar, for thou hast killed the sweetest innocent that ever did lift up eye.
I saw the kerchief in her hand, which I first gave to her, an antique token my father gave my mother.
Oh, heaven! Oh, heavenly powers! That handkerchief thou speakest of, I found my fortune and give my husband. For often with a solemn earnestness he begged of me to steal it.
Yes, alas! Kill the media! After him! Thank you, villain! Take you this weapon which I have here recovered from the moor, and guard the door without. Let him not pass, but kill him rather. I'll after that same villain.
Moor, she was chaste. She loved thee, cruel moor. So come my soul to bliss in thy sweet home. So speaking as I think, I die. I die.
I have another weapon in this chamber. It is a sword of Spain, the ice brook's temper. Oh, here it is. Uncle, I must come forth.
If thou tempest, it will not be dear. Thou hast no weapon, and the force must suffer.
Look in upon me then, and speak with me. For naked as I am, I will assault thee. Behold, I have a weapon. A better never did itself sustain upon a soldier's thigh. I've seen the day that with this little arm and this good sword, I have made my way through more impediments than 20 times you have stopped. But, oh, vain boast. It is not so now. Man but a rush against a fellow's breast, and he retires. Where should a fellow go? Now, how dost thou look now? Oh, ill-starred wench, pale as thy smock. When we shall meet at Count, this look of thine will hurl my soul from heaven, and fiends will snatch at it. Cold, cold, my girl, even like thy chastity. Oh, cursed slave! Whip me, devils, from possession of this heavenly sight. Blow me about in winds, roast me in sulfur, wash me in steep-down gulfs of liquid fire. Oh, Desdemona.
Where is this rash and most unfortunate man?
That's he that was Othello. Here I am.
Where is that viper? Bring Iago forth.
I look down toward his feet. But that's a fable. If thou beast a devil, I cannot kill thee.
I bleed, sir, but I'm not killed.
I am not sorry, neither. I had thee live. For in my sense, 'tis happiness to die.
Oh, thou, old fellow, that were once so good, fallen in the practice of a cursed slave. What shall be said to thee?
Why, anything. An honorable murderer, if you will, for naught I did in hate, but all in honor.
This wretch hath part confessed his villainy. Did you and he consent in Cassio's death?
Aye.
Dear General, I never gave you cause.
I do believe it, and I ask your pardon. Will you, I pray, demand that demi-devil why he hath thus ensnared my soul and body?
Demand me nothing. What you know, you know. From this time forth, I never will speak word.
Well, thou dost best.
How came you, Cassio, by that handkerchief that was my wife's?
I found it in my chamber, and he himself confessed, but even now, that there he dropped it for a special purpose, which wrought to his desire.
Oh, fool, fool, fool.
Oh. Othello, you must forsake this room and go with us. Your power and your command is taken off, and Cassio rules in Cyprus. Come, away.
Soft you. A word or two before you go. I've done the state some service, and they know it. No more of that. I pray you, in your letters, when you shall these unlucky deeds relate, speak of me as I am. Nothing extenuate, nor set down aught in malice. Then must you speak of one that loved, not wisely, but too well. Of one not easily jealous, but being wrought, perplexed in the extreme. Of one whose hand, like the base Judean, threw a pearl away richer than all his tribe. Of one whose subdued eyes, albeit unused to the melting mood, dropped tears as fast as the Arabian trees, their medicinal gum. Set you down this, and say, besides, that in Aleppo once, where a malignant and a turbaned Turk beat the Venetian and produced the state, I took by the throat the heathen dog and smote him thus. Oh, Desdemona, I kissed thee ere I killed thee. No way but this, killing myself, to die upon here.
So we come to the end of another in our series of great plays. In the cast today, Othello was played by Walter Hamden, the Desdemona by Selina Royal, Iago was George Gall, Amelia Florence Malone, Cassio William Thornton, Brabantio Malcolm Dunn, Duke of Venice H. Cooper Cliff, Graciano Harry Neville, Rodrigo Brandon Peters, Rodrigo Burford Hampton, Montano Eric Dressler, and the guard Jerome Lesser. Next week at this time, we hope to have you with us at a performance of The Cid, an early play by Corneille.
Your commentator was Burns Mantle, well-known American dramatic critic. The adaptation of the play was made by Harry MacFadden, who also directed the performance. The music was especially arranged for the play by Joseph Haunty. The Great Plays series, under the supervision of Blevins Davis, is an educational feature of the National Broadcasting Company. A study manual, Part 1, giving complete background material for the Great Plays, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 10 cents. Send coin or money orders to the National Broadcasting Company in care of Great Plays, Radio City, New York. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining Great Plays of the series. The Tragedy of Othello was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York. Thank you.